Hi, I'm Kate Smurthwaite and welcome to my quite sarcastic news podcast. Today is January the 24th and we start with politics and an estimated 22,500 police joined a march in central London to protest over pay. Well, initially only six showed up, so they smashed a window and then another 20 arrived and then they started a riot and another 2,000 arrived and finally a Brazilian guy in a puffer jacket shouted Allah Akbar and then they all came. Imagine though being a petty criminal near Westminster yesterday. Like you've just nicked a £2 blouse out of Primark and you're sprinting away with it round the corner, suddenly you see 22,500 police officers marching your way. Now transport, and a man who leads his girlfriend round with a dog collar has been prevented from boarding a bus in West Yorkshire. Danny Graves and his fiancé, are claiming discrimination. The bus company says the lead is a threat to passenger safety, which is pretty bad news for anyone on the bus when the trainers from the local pit bull centre decide to take Rex out to the park. The woman, Tasha Maltby, said the lead was her idea and previous boyfriends had called her a weirdo for suggesting it. And that's news? Go on, try it now. Go and ask your partner if they wouldn't mind leading you round on a dog lead. And if they don't call you a weirdo, call the press. And then the police. Asked about their relationship, Mr. Graves said, "She's kind of like a pet. I do everything for her. You wouldn't expect your cat or dog to do the washing up or cleaning round the house." Well, true, but you would expect your pet to shit in a sandbox in the kitchen. Seriously though, I'm actually with the couple on this occasion. If they're both genuinely consenting to the arrangement, what is it to us? The press seem obsessed with describing them as goths and saying that they dress in black and all that kind of stuff. If having something round your neck was dangerous on buses, then businessmen would have to take their ties off before boarding. Now, health and scientists say they are close to finding a way of transplanting a kidney without the need for drugs. Because normally they want at least a dab of nose candy before attempting a tricky procedure like that. Now, the environment, and a new ship has been unveiled, which is partly powered by a giant kite. If the initiative is successful, the owners of the MS Beluga Skysails plan to launch a sister fleet powered by Yo-Yos, Diabolos and Buzz Lightyear. Now back to health, and fat people could be paid to lose weight under new government plans to tackle obesity. So if you're short of cash, get yourself down to the nearest all-you-can-eat place and load up now. The plans will offer vouchers for healthy food, followed by cash prizes for those who succeed in losing weight. Great thinking, because the real reason for obesity in this country is nothing to do with the rise of convenience food, the appalling way the public are treated by the food industry, and the rise of the TV and PlayStation generation. Turns out the real problem is just the lack of a financial incentive. Other measures being proposed include the so-called Lunchbox Police, which sounds like a dodgy Chippendales tribute act. They'll be going round to check if children have been given a healthy lunch. Now that seems dumb to me. I know when I was at school, the easy way to tell if kids have a healthy lunch is if they throw it in the ditch on the way to school and go and buy chocolate instead at the nearest newsagents. They're also suggesting that kids have compulsory cookery lessons. They'll only be able to make dough and instant mash, of course, because of the ban on knives in schools. Their next piece of advice is that schools give kids at least 5 hours of sport every week, which is actually more than the England football squad do. Now, crime, and there's a lot of coverage today of statements from Natasha Steele. In case you're wondering who that is, she's been listed almost everywhere as Natasha Hogan, because it seems only natural for the papers to assume that she would want to keep the name of her ex-husband after he murdered her son and had his defence team try to tell her it was her fault. She's got bigger things to be upset about, though, than the fact they won't use her maiden name. For example, the fact that her ex-husband has been let off after throwing both of her children off a 50-foot balcony. John Hogan's lawyers described him as, and I quote, "the best dad his son could have had." Just doesn't ring true for me. I've never been in a branch of Clinton Cards and seen a mug that says, "world's best dad. Hey, thanks for throwing me off a balcony to my death, pups." Finally, fashion, and the burlesque artist Dita Von Teese has been announced as the new Wonder Bra model. Amazing how much coverage this issue needed, really. Personally, I find the woman who essentially takes her kit off for money and then claims it's somehow liberating to take slightly less of your clothes off in a middle-class cocktail lounge extremely annoying. At least the women who work at Spearmint Rhino can legitimately claim they need the money and don't have much choice. She legitimises an industry that's exploiting women all over the world. Also, I've never seen her in a bra. She's forever showing us how she really doesn't need one. Is the new range going to include nipple tassels? And remember, Wonder Bras are basically padded bras. They're designed to make boobs look bigger. So here's the message you're being sent by Wonderbra. Are you the most successful stripper in England? Sorry, still not good enough. Go and get yourself some padding. Well, that's all from me for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you very much for listening. I'm Kate Smurthwaite, and goodbye.